I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's headlines. And for the second straight day, President Obama was in Russia on Tuesday telling students there that the U.S. is committed to stopping nuclear proliferation. Obama was in Russia where he addressed students at Moscow's new economics school and made a presentation of a diploma to the best graduating student. He said Americans and Russians share much common ground, including in the issue of nuclear weapons. He says neither the U.S. nor the Russians would benefit nor want to see a nuclear arms race in East Asia or the Middle East.
That's why we should be united in opposing North Korea's efforts to become a nuclear power and opposing Iran's efforts to acquire a nuclear weapon. I'm pleased that President Medvedev and I agreed upon a joint threat assessment of the ballistic missile challenges of the 21st century, including from Iran and North Korea.
The president slightly referring there to the agreement signed in principle on Monday between Obama and Russian President Dmitry Medvedev that would reduce the number of nuclear warheads to somewhere between 1,500 and 1,675 in both countries, and also drastically limiting the number of delivery vehicles, missiles and otherwise, from 500 to 1,100. Previously, the levels were 2,200 for the warheads and 1,600 for the delivery systems. The president says this is a good step forward in what he wants to see as a resetting of relations between the two countries after the relationship grew quite frosty in the latter years of the Bush administration.
It must be sustained effort among the American and Russian people to identify mutual interests and expand dialogue and cooperation that can pave the way to progress.
Obama also told the students that any world order that tries to elevate one nation or group of people over another will inevitably fail. He says he believes the free market is the greatest force for creating and distributing wealth, although he says, as we've learned recently, there can be some real problems with that system too.
But wherever the market is allowed to run rampant through excessive risk-taking, a lack of regulation, or corruption, then all are in danger, whether we live on the Mississippi or on the Volga.
The president also talked about his diplomatic approach to dealing with some of the most difficult problems on the international stage. He says he wants to convince Americans and believes for the most part he has convinced Americans that we can handle every issue peacefully.
But no one nation can meet the challenges of the 21st century on its own, nor dictate its terms to the world. That is something that America now understands, just as Russia understands. That's why America seeks an international system that lets nations pursue their interests peacefully, especially when those interests divert.
The president has also spoken out on an issue that's gotten a lot of attention since the vice president, Joe Biden, addressed it on Sunday. On ABC's This Week program, Biden said that the U.S. is in no position to dictate what Israeli response ought to be if it feels threatened by an emerging Iranian nuclear weapons program. President Obama says there is no American green light to the Israelis.
Are you giving Israel a green light?
Absolutely not. And I think it's very important that I'm as clear as I can be, and our administration is as consistent as we can be on this issue. I think Vice President Biden stated a categorical fact, which is we can't dictate to other countries what their security interests are.
Meanwhile, tensions between the European Union and Iran continue to mount following the arrest of a French academic in Tehran on charges of spying. Correspondent Nina Maria Potts has more.
Reports say the French woman had been in Iran for 5 months as an academic in Isfahan. The French foreign ministry said in a statement that it had called the Iranian authorities to demand her immediate release, and the Iranian ambassador in Paris had been summoned for an explanation. Tensions between Iran and Europe have arisen since the disputed presidential election last month, with Iran accusing the West of stoking post-election violence. The UK says 8 of 9 British embassy staff who'd been detained have been released. The EU had said their detention was unacceptable. Nina Mrepots, Brussels.
Elsewhere on the terrorism front, a permanent memorial is being unveiled to the victims of the 2005 London bombings. On the fourth anniversary of the suicide attacks, families of those who died on 7/7/05 have praised the memorial in London's Hyde Park. Reporter Joanne Parks is there.
52 people died and hundreds more were injured 4 years ago today when 4 suicide bombers detonated backpacks at separate locations on London's transport system. 3 underground trains and a bus were the targets. The memorial in Hyde Park consists of 52 stainless steel pillars, grouped to represent the 4 attacks of 7/7. A plaque alongside the pillars lists the names of all those killed 4 years ago. Members of a group of bereaved families have said the memorial is a, quote, fitting tribute and will ensure their loved ones are never forgotten. Joanne Parks, London.
Back here at home, U.S. senators are diving into the contentious debate over energy and global climate change. A Senate panel is considering legislation aimed at curbing global warming and promoting alternative energies. It's basically the same package that passed the House before the 4th of July recess on a very contentious vote of 219 to 212, and a lot of arm twisting was done to get enough votes to pass the package. Today, in those Senate hearings, Energy Secretary Stephen Chu testified that global climate change, in his opinion, poses a growing threat.
Human carbon dioxide emissions and other greenhouse gases have caused our planet to change. Already, we've seen the loss of about half the summer Arctic polar ice cap, a loss of over 2,000 cubic miles of glacial ice, a dramatic accelerating rise in sea level.
As a result, EPA Administrator Lisa Jackson says that the Energy Climate Change Bill passed by the House is the right move for this administration and this Congress to get the U.S. on the right energy track.
Decreasing our dependency on foreign oil, creating millions of new jobs in emerging clean energy technologies, and reducing the pollution that endangers our children.
But most Republicans on the committee are skeptical, to say the least. Missouri Republican Senator Kit Bond says this energy climate change bill is really just a massive energy tax that would be a job killer because of the stringent environmental regulations. And on top of that, he says, it'll be a major bureaucratic mess.
What a nightmare it will be with EPA at the center of a great web of government mandates, programs, and taxes. EPA will have help from nearly two dozen other federal agencies implementing government programs that will tax and spend trillions of dollars.
Tennessee Republican Senator Lamar Alexander says there needs to be energy reform in this country, but all avenues ought to be explored. And he says Democrats are foolish for not exploring nuclear power.
Why are we ignoring the cheap energy solution to global warming, which is nuclear power? 100 new nuclear plants will reduce global warming faster than taxes and mandates.
Meanwhile, researchers have new rules to follow when they're involved in federally funded human embryonic stem cell research. The rules issued by the federal government on Monday go into effect today. The guidelines drawn up by the National Institutes of Health at the request of President Obama take into account many arguments put forward by supporters and opponents of embryonic stem cell research over nearly 10 years of discussion. The two sides have been at odds over how best to use the potential of human embryonic stem cells, but without destroying human embryos. The consensus now seems to have coalesced around using embryos that are about to be discarded by fertility clinics. But the new rules forbid any sort of monetary gain as a result of this research, saying that people cannot sell their unused embryos to researchers for any financial gain. There's also a ban on creating human embryos for the purpose of destroying them for further research. For more information on this issue, please check out my interview with Dr. David Prentice of the Family Research Council on RadioAmerica.org and WorldNetDaily.com. One of President Obama's advisors says a second economic stimulus package focusing on infrastructure projects should be considered, emphasizing that she was speaking for herself and not for the president. Laura Tyson said the $787 billion package approved back in February is, quote, a bit too small. Tyson told Bloomberg.com the current plan will have a positive effect, but the real economy is a sicker patient than previously thought. She added the economy is worse than they initially forecasted. Tyson's comments contrast with remarks made 2 days ago by Vice President Joe Biden and fellow Obama advisor Austin Goolsbee. President Obama has also said it is not yet time to consider a second economic stimulus plan. Only a handful of about 2,000 dealerships General Motors wants to close won't go along with the plan. The company has offered all of its lame duck dealers one-time cash payments and 16 months to wind down their GM-related operations. Nearly 40 are standing firm and saying no. That's prompted GM lawyers to ask U.S. bankruptcy courts in New York for permission to terminate those franchises. Judge Robert Gerber, who is overseeing the GM bankruptcy case, has set a hearing for August 3rd. Credit card companies are cutting back on lending despite massive government bailout efforts to bolster the credit market. Banks in the first 4 months of 2009 have issued 38% fewer cards than during the same time period last year. USA Today reports lending institutions issued just under 10 million new cards, with the average credit limit falling by about 3% per card. On Wall Street Tuesday, stocks finishing lower. The Dow Jones Industrials down 161 points to close at 8164. The S&P 500 off 18 to close at 881, while the NASDAQ lost 41 points to finish at 1746. Crude oil down $1.12 to settle at $62.93 per barrel. After a bruising Minnesota Senate campaign and 8 months of recounts and court challenges, Democrat Al Franken was finally sworn in Tuesday as the newest senator from the Gopher State.
And that you will well and faithfully discharge the duty of the office upon which you are about to enter. So help you God.
I do.
Congratulations, Senator.
Thank you.
Franken, of course, sworn in there by Vice President Joe Biden. There are now, the Senate now has its full complement of 100 lawmakers, 60 Democrats, and 40 Republicans. Well, the biggest pop culture news, of course, on Tuesday was the memorial service for the late pop star Michael Jackson at the Staples Center in Los Angeles, featuring personal spoken tributes as well as a whole lot of music. One Washington figure to appear on the scene was Texas Congresswoman Sheila Jackson Lee. Lee spent quite a bit of time praising Jackson, but it was clear that comments made in recent days by New York Congressman Peter King slamming Jackson and the excessive media coverage of his death have gotten under her skin. Here's a refresher of what Congressman King had to say over the 4th of July weekend.
So what we hear about is Michael Jackson, and let's knock out the psychobabble. This guy was a pervert, he was a child molester, he was a pedophile.
And here was Congresswoman Jackson Lee's rebuttal on Tuesday.
We understand the Constitution. We understand laws. And we know that people are innocent until proven otherwise. That is what the Constitution stands for.
That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily.